and all the God people that God want to punish will be rushing for the sansa. I said, yeah. Listen, how you feel, you know, when Pastor Banky just said that word, my body began to shake. It can just be that you are wishing he will marry you. That's all. But the people don't marry. He said, okay, well, God, you make my husband like that. That's what's making you shake. It's not anointing at all. It's good to shake under the power, amen? When you finish shaking, stabilize and think properly. Whether you want to obey or disobey. All this shake, shake, eh? It's temporary, you know? I like the way Oswald Chambers said it. He said, Peter and co. followed Jesus to the top of the mountain, Mount of Transfiguration. When they saw glory, Peter said, hey, wait. Why do we need to go anywhere? Let's stay here. Jesus said, my friend, wake up. Let's go to real life. This is not a temporal matter. You can see glory and go to hell. You know, doesn't mean that's what Jesus was telling him. Come, I've just shown you that things are real. Let's now go and put the things that you know are real into practice. No, Pentecostals love it. Our fellowship was glorious that day. Hallelujah. As the man was preaching, we're just falling down. All your stupidity is still in your head, even though you fell down. Your disobedience to the word of God, it hasn't departed from your body, even though you fell down. Better rise up and obey God. Do you understand my point? This falling is unnecessary. I'm not saying people don't fall under the power. I'm trying to get our minds to know what is real. After you have fallen, get up, clean your clothes, and say, Lord, while I was on the ground, what did you say? Whether you fell down or not, does not in any way change the reality of the word that's coming forth. It doesn't make it real. It does not make it unreal. Please, I hope you get my point. It's icing on the cake. Those who fell, amen. Those who did not fall, amen. Just leave the place and obey the word that was preached. Your church is not necessarily more powerful because after service, all of them are clothed dirty. You know what I mean? All of them don't fall down well. And you come down and say, bros, you were neat when you went to church. Say, it was anointing. I'm not saying it is bad, though. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I'm just saying it means what? Nothing. God, you know, God also plays. Yeah, he too likes to play. He likes to watch movie. So once in a while, he can. If you want entertainment, he'll give it to you. But what am I saying? When you have finished being entertained by the Holy Spirit, get up and go for real obedience to the word of God. Listen, when you get to your office, there's no anointing that will tell you not to cheat somebody. Are you hearing my point? There is no anointing. You don't need to say, as I was about to take that bribe from him, the Holy Spirit came. And I began to feel like I felt that day when the word was coming forth. Listen, at that time, Holy Spirit would just stay on one side. Say, let me see what you are going to do. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? I said, Shupong somewhere. James chapter 1. Quickly, let's read that one. So he was saying to them in Ezekiel, that's what we have been looking at. If you read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explained it there. That there are two ways the Word of God, there are two approaches to relating with the Word of God, or there are two kinds of people. And that's what I want to look at again now. I said there's a hearing and hearing, and those who think it's entertainment. Let's look at James chapter 1. From verse 21, it says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. He said, in humility, do what? Receive the word. Make sure it is implanted in your heart. That way, it will be able to save your souls. So further explain that, he said in verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude or deceive themselves. Now, please, that word deceive, you see in the King James Bible, New King James, all right? This one's the New American Standard. Now, I want to explain something quickly here. You know, I was saying something earlier. That's where, that was when I said we should go to the book of James. I said that
you really don't know the amount, you know, the relative, how do I say, the amount of serious hearing and as against entertainment hearing that your heart, your own, my own, Banky, all right, heart is engaging in. Why? Whatever you are thinking is what you are thinking. You understand my point? That's your perception. Now, what is deception? Deception is when, listen to this, deception is when you believe something and to you it is true, but the thing is false. A man who is lying may not be trying to deceive you. It may be because he's deceived already. That's very important. Let me give an example. Paul in the Bible, Saul then, was vigorously persecuting the church of Christ. And he thought he was doing God service. And until the Lord Jesus met him, he never doubted that he was right. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. You know, they asked Joel Osteen on TV when Piers Morgan was interviewing him. He said, do you think that, they were talking about forgiveness. Can you forgive Osama bin Laden? Then they asked him at the point in time about what he thought concerning somebody like Adolf Hitler. And he said, well, I don't know everything. He doesn't know. You know, he was just trying to explain something. As he was speaking, and I smiled to myself, that if you ask God, he will say there are about 65,000 Americans who are worse than Adolf Hitler. And about maybe 200 of them are in Congress. You ask God. Do you get my point? They want to hang Osama bin Laden. God can tell them that the chairman of your Republican Party is worse than Osama bin Laden. I'm not saying he is. I'm just trying to explain that in the eyes of God. You understand? I was wishing Piers Morgan had asked me that question. I would have simply answered him, what do you mean about Adolf Hitler? He killed 6 million Jews. I said, he killed 6 million Jews. I'm not saying it's right, please get my point. Because he had the opportunity to. There are many people who will murder 25 million Jews, Gentiles combined, but nobody has given them the opportunity. Am I saying Adolf Hitler is good or bad? I'm not saying the man is good at all. I'm just saying you can't qualify his badness by the number of people that died in his hands. He's a vessel unto dishonor. He's a man who's doing the dishonorable work that you blame, not the vessel he's using. I don't know what I hear what I'm saying. The vessel made himself available. That is why some people think that Billy Graham is a saint. More saintly than maybe their local parish priest. Are you getting my point? I don't think so. I'm not saying he is not. I'm saying I don't know. Why? He's a vessel. Are you getting my point? He's what? A vessel is a vessel. He's just a vessel. That is, if you yield yourself, God will use you for what he wants to use you for. And the worldly, you know, the world will give all kinds of valuation to what God did through you or the devil did through you. Please, I'm going somewhere in all these things that I'm saying. Is that okay? I'm talking about people deceiving themselves. Don't forget that. Now, a lot of people look and think they are better than Adolf Hitler. But God looks at their hearts and says, Brother Morgan, you and Adolf Hitler, the difference is when you were born and which country and the office I put you in. Because right here, you are calling Joel Osteen. You are criticizing him for judging because he repeated my word, saying that homosexuality is perversion according to the word of God. You are saying, what gives you the right to judge? I don't know what I get my point. God said, listen, oh boy, as far as I'm concerned, you have just killed 75 million people. You don't know how God judges. I'm going to something, all this is I'm saying. This is the point. There are people who think they love God because they go to church. But they are deceived. Now, I was saying something about Adolf Hitler. That's why I haven't gotten there. If you ask Hitler, I don't know him. You know, he's not my friend. He never came to my house all those days that he was killing people. All the times I called him, he did not answer. Let's make a long story short. He's not my friend. And I'm not trying to defend him. Is that okay? I am not in any way trying to defend him at all. But if you asked him, he probably thought he was doing the rest of the world a favor. Somebody said something about Adolf Hitler. I think it was, Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner said if Adolf Hitler had died in 1939, he would have been a hero till today. Because in the space of a few years, he turned the German economy around. Before Adolf Hitler, if you paid a German his salary, he ran to the market to spend it. Because if he waited 1 hour, prices would have doubled. This inflation that was in Zimbabwe recently was a joke compared to what was in Germany in the 30s. Adolf Hitler stepped in, put an end to it, and brought their economy to the top again in just about 5 years. That was why Germans loved him. He said, if you had done the man a favor and killed him in 1939, he would have been a hero, an economic hero, a miracle worker till today. You would have gone to Harvard Business School and they would have told you how to turn around an ailing economy by studying Adolf Hitler. What am I saying? The man probably thought he was a good man. He thought he was doing what he was doing because that was the right thing to do. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about deception. I don't know how many of you know of Pol Pot. Cambodia. Khmer Rouge. The pastor, is that in the Bible? Anyway, Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge. Pol Pot was like this communist, one crazy guy anyway, who ruled Cambodia for 2 years and about 2 years. And during that period, killed 2 million people. Cambodians. If you wore glasses, he killed you. Because it's a sign that you're educated. If you're educated, he killed you. He called the rebellion of the masses. He wiped out everybody that had sense. I'm serious. School teachers, he killed them. Why? Anyway, this is the point. When they overthrew him, a journalist interviewed Pol Pot. Pol Pot spent 2 hours trying to explain to her what was right in what he did. I don't know whether I get my point. That's what they call delusion. A man is deluded. He has been deceived. He's believing that which is wrong, but he thinks it is right. And listen to me, there's a certain degree of delusion in you listening to me and in me talking to you. What do I mean? Things you hold on to strongly, you think it's right, but it's actually not right. That is why you must never stop praying the prayer, have mercy on me, O Lord. That which I see not, teach thou me. Very crucial. James said, there are people who think they are good Christians. Why? Because they never miss a service. They are always in church. They are hearers of the word. Now, please, I'm not going to bring out something here. He said, but there's a difference between a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. And you must make sure that you are a what? Doer. Now, listen to what I want to say. That's what I want to preach today. Then I close. Doer of the word or hearer of the word describes what somebody is, not what he tries to do. Now, get my point. If a doer of the word is sleeping, it's still a doer of the word. Are you getting my point? Okay, let's say a good man and a bad man. It's not just what the person does. It's what the person is. A good man sleeping is a good man. An evil man sleeping is an evil man. A hearer of the word doing nothing is a hearer. A doer of the word doing nothing is what? A doer. It's what the person is. I'm going to bring up something. Because we have to use this one to judge ourselves. Now, this is where I'm going. If it is what I am, all right, that we are describing, not necessarily what I'm doing, it will show you, therefore, of course, a hearer of the word is a man who hears the word all the time. He loves to hear it. It's not just like they say it in his hearing. No, there are things like, now, I'm not a hearer of P-square. Do you understand? But I've heard their music. If you are selling it for 10 kobo, I won't buy. No, I'm serious about that. If you are designing it for free, and you say, take, P Square, I won't stretch out my hand to collect it. I don't desire anything they say. But I have heard their songs a lot of times. Why? I put on the TV, they jump into without invitation, bam, inside my house. Hey, jam, 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 jam. Say, my friend, get away. Before you switch the channel, 1 whole minute of, in fact, sometimes curiosity, you are looking at him. Why is his trouser hanging down? Why is his hair like that? You know, you are thinking. But I am not a hearer of P Square, even though I've heard P Square. Are you getting my point? Good. Now, a hearer of the word is not just somebody who has heard the word. It's somebody who goes frequently to hear it, who loves to hear it. And the Bible says he can still be deceived. I make bold to tell you again today, most Christians are today, 2011, they are deceived. They swear church number, they are deceived. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, next thing, let me quickly say this. A doer of the word, let me ask you, will he like to hear the word? Yes, but does that make him a hearer? No, he's something beyond a hearer. He hears, but he's called a doer. That is, there are characteristics in each person that's just beyond the matter of hearing or not hearing that describes his personality. This is why I'm explaining all of this. Because I want to show some of the things that let you know somebody is a doer. And you let you know whether you are a doer. And you know whether you have been deceiving yourself or you have not been deceiving yourself. Please, I'm trying to get this thing clear. Just try and follow me closely. I'm trying not to lose my train of thought. All right? Now, listen to this. I was saying, so apart from just doing, there are things, because before you do, the word must enter. You must first go through the stage of hearing before you get to the stage of doing. But you cannot do except you are a doer. Doing does not make you a doer. It's because you are a doer that you do. Did you hear what I said? God looks at the heart, not at the not outside. So if God calls you a doer, like I said, you've heard me talk about cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is not a man who dances when he is giving. He may dance when he's giving. But a dancer can be a cheerful investor. You know that today, this day and age, we have a lot of cheerful investors in church. They are not cheerful givers. So God is not just describing cheerfulness because of what you look like outside. There's a particular trait, a character type that is called cheerful giver. In the same manner, there's a character type that's called hearer. Hearer and doer. I'm trying to talk about the doer man. The doer man also hears. But even before he does, there are things that tell him, tell God, and tell, if you're a keen observer, tell you whether the person is a doer. Let me give you an example. A very simple example. It is rare, listen to me, this is what I think, for a hearer of the word to be a reader. Is rare. Usually readers tend to be more like doers of the word. Listen to what I'm saying. Because entertainment requires little effort. No man wakes up every morning trying to get entertained. They usually relax to get entertained. But because they want to eat, they go to work every day. So men, this is the difference between a man who just loves to be entertained and a man who lives by something. Nobody, listen to me, leaves his work for 5 days at a stretch to go and camp around P Square. No matter how anointed P Square thinks they are, or think they are. Are you getting my point? I want to bring out something to you here. But because you know if you don't work, you won't eat. What do you do every morning? You go to work. In the evening, you can cross your leg and listen to P-Square. P-Square can be playing while you are working. But oh boy, most of your time, what do? You work. Work is not entertainment. It is something you know you must do to live. I'm going somewhere. That's why, when we're talking about the word also, a hearer. Listen, there's a certain degree of effort that a hearer will not put into getting the word of God. That's what I'm saying. That only doers put. That is why it is rare for a hearer of the word to be a reader. It's rare. I'm talking about churches being full. Go to the same churches. Full. Morning till night, go and ask the pastor, how many people buy your tapes? I don't know what I hear them say. They can't. No, that effort is too much. It is too much. It is too much for most people. They will look at the book, listen to this, it's too voluminous. A medical student will tell you the word, a Bible, a scriptural book is too voluminous. No medical student on earth will ever open his or her mouth to say it, or a doctor. You know why? I went to school. I know the kind of volumes we read as a habit. How can somebody who studied law look at a book and say it's too voluminous? With all the law reports, your brain must imbibe, and you do, because without it, no grudge for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Without the guy, there's no food. So what do? You discipline yourself to cram Emeka versus Nigerian State, 1982. The verdict, who's the plaintiff? You understand? And who are they playing? All. You cram the whole thing. Why? Because without it, no food. I told a story last time that Sunday Adelaide told in that his book, Money Won't Make You Rich. He said this guy came to his church, poor, a pastor, and hardly literate. He bought tapes to learn the principles of becoming financially free. He listened to it, listened to them, and they made no sense because he was not very learned. But he wouldn't give up. It took him, I think, about 2 months of unrelenting attention before the message got through. That is a doer. It is not whether he has done it yet. It is because he realizes that by this word, a man shall live. Did you hear what I said? It is because he realizes that by this word, a man shall live. Therefore, having tried and tried and having not succeeded, he did not cease trying until he broke through. Are you seeing my point? I'm not describing the issue of a doer of the word. A doer of the word does obeys the word. That's true. He is a doer. He does the word. He obeys the word. He carries out the precepts of God. But that is the result of being a doer. He is not a doer because he does, but because he's a doer, he therefore obeys and practices the word of God. How do you know? Because a man must first get to a place, having heard the word into a doing heart, before he can manifest doing. I hope I'm not confusing with this doing. You understand my point? You get what I'm saying? I'm going to explain one of the traits of somebody who is a doer. It is shown in the amount of attention. I just made a statement now that a man knows that without this, I can't break through. Bishop Oyedepo told a story then, how he conquered poverty. You can sit down and analyze the theology of some of the things he says. But that's not what I want to bring out. He said he looked back and realized that people around him had been poor. He looked to his left and his right, and people around him were poor. Pastors were poor. He said, no, I can't go on in this cycle of poverty. Listen to this. I want to know what the word of God says about becoming prosperous. So he went out, gathered a few of his friends, and they went for a retreat. And he said, I am not coming out until I have the word that declares prosperity into my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whether he obeys it or not is not the issue now. That is a doer's attitude. Are you getting my point? That is what? A doer's attitude. That's a doer's attitude. Because of what they realize. And that's what I'm trying to pass across to us in this season. We read somewhere, we read just now in the book of James. He said, receive the implanted, the word implanted, which is able to do what? Save your souls. Listen to this. This is a matter of fact. For every challenge you have, for every difficulty you have, listen to me. For every issue that may be in your life, listen, there is a word that saves your soul at that time. Did you hear what I said? There is what? a word. Listen to me. Everything that God has planned in the heavens, I said to us several times here before, there's no surprise. You can't surprise God. You can't. Before the confusions that arose upon you in 2009, which joined with the troubles you had in 2010, began, it was recorded in heaven that such troubles exist or will exist on the earth. Are you getting my point? You think nobody don't see this type before? There are 7,000 people in caves who saw it. You're not the only Elijah of trouble. You know what I'm saying? Plenty. And before then, God wrote something down. Or God issued forth a word as per the solution to that problem. Listen to what I'm saying. No, listen to this. That thing that God had recorded is written in heaven. It's what you and I now call his word. And before God solves that problem for you, you must receive that word. He sent his word and healed them. And that word delivered them from all their troubles. Are you getting my point? Now listen. Now I've stated to you as a matter of fact, as a statement of fact, I have mentioned that to you now. Now, whether you believe it or not, will be reflected the day you enter into a kind of trouble. And whether you pick up your phone first, or you pick up your Bible first, is what tells you whether you are a doer or you are a hearer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A doer realizes that my solution is here. A doer realizes, you know, let me tell you something. This is a matter of fact. You are doing business, you're in a particular level. Your turnover is good. In a year, you do 5 million naira turnover. You probably make a profit of 5 million, stuff like that. You find yourself in that cycle for about 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Listen, you start getting disturbed. That why am I on one spot for this length of time? Listen to what Christianity is. God says, what is the issue? He says, I want to move to another level. God said, the solution, the propelling force to take you from this level into the next level is in what? A word. Now, whether you are a doer or a hearer, what is a hearer? It's a good Christian that goes to church all the time and loves the sound of his or her pastor. Whew. I like the way he whips off his voice when he's about to get there. And then he that's hearing. Hallelujah. Both the hearer and the doer, they pass through that phase. A hearer stops there. A doer, that's what I'm talking about, is somebody who knows that this cycle I'm in, to break out of this cycle into the next level, I need a propelling force which is only found in the word of God. That kind of person will take a retreat. If you don't go to work for 1 month, you are going to lose about 600,000 naira. He said, but if I catch a word, you will answer. I will move from doing 6 million naira a year of turnover to doing 600 million naira a year turnover. So what's the big deal if I lose 600 million in just 1 month? A doer will lose that 600 million, 600,000, because he or she knows that the solution to move me to the next level is in the word that I receive. A doer is not somebody who has listened, because I hear pastors teach it. You wake up in the morning and say 7 things. Then sleep at night and say 8 things. Then people think doers are those who obey those repetitions. Pastor said, I won't want to pray. We'll face this wall. All right? Then you write the things you want on the wall. Hallelujah. You know, this is what I will receive. I receive it. They said, put up one right leg. Okay. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Say, have you done it? How many times? Your wife said, that's 17 times. Oh, no, they said 25. Hey, I receive it. I receive it. You have deceived yourself. You think you are a doer. Why? Because you repeated certain motions. It's called the fear they have for me is out of tradition learnt by rote. They crammed it. Pastor said, in the time of affliction, you face this side. He said, Hezekiah faced the wall and he prayed. Okay, please, honey, write down the prayer of Hezekiah for me. All right. He said, no, the wall. Which wall? No, this is the bigger wall. Face the bigger wall. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. No, that's Jabez. Now they said Hezekiah. Okay, give me the. Oh Lord, how I served you with tell. And you think you are a doer. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That's not who a doer is. Go and read my tract.